"General, I protest," said a departing colonel. "We are being sent out of the room like naughty children, while these females are..."
"Yes, yes, Rodney. And if our friend the sergeant doesn't have a damn good explanation, I'll personally turn him over to you for punishment detail," said Frock. "But he's entitled to his last wild charge, if any man is. Go quietly, there's a good chap, and keep the war going until we get there. And have you finished this strange charade, sergeant?" he added, as the last of the officers left. "All but one last thing, sir," said Jackram, and stamped over to the guards. They were at attention already, but nevertheless contrived to become more attentive. "You lads go outside this door," said the sergeant. "No one is to come close, understand? And I know you boys won't try to eavesdrop, because of what'll happen to you if I ever found out that you had done so. Off you go. Hop, 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 hop." He shut the doors behind them, and the atmosphere changed. Polly couldn't quite detect how, but perhaps it was that the click of the doors had said, "This is our secret," and everyone present was in on it. Jackram removed his shako and laid it gently on the table in front of the general. Then he took off his coat and handed it to Polly, saying, "Hold this, Perks. It's the property of Her Grace." He rolled up his sleeves. He relaxed his enormous red suspenders. And then, to Polly's horror, if not to her surprise, he brought out his paper screw of foul chewing tobacco and his blackened penknife. "Oh, I say," a major began, before a colleague nudged him into silence. Never had a man cutting a wad of black tobacco been the subject of such rapt, horrified attention. "Things are going well outside," he said. "Shame you aren't all out there, eh? Still, the truth's important too, right? And that's what this tribunal is for, I've no doubt about it. It must be important, the truth, else you wouldn't be here, am I right? 'Course I am." Jackram finished the cut, palmed the stuff into his mouth, and got it comfortable in a cheek, while the sounds of battle filtered through from outside. Then he turned and walked towards the major who had just spoken. The man cringed a little in his chair. "What have you got to say about the truth, Major Derby?" said Jackram conversationally. "Nothing? Well then, what shall I say? What shall I say about a captain who turned and ran sobbing when we came across a column of Slovenians, deserting his very men? Shall I say that old Jackram tripped him up and pummeled him a bit, and put the fear of Jackram into him, and he went back, and 'twas a famous victory he had that day, over two enemies, one of them being in his own head? And he came to old Jackram again, drunk with battle, and said more than he ought."
"You bastard," said the major softly.
"Shall I tell the truth today, Janet?" said Jackram. The sounds of battle were suddenly much louder. They poured into the room like the water rushes to fill a hole in the ocean floor, but all the sound in the world could not have filled that sudden, tremendous silence. Jackram strolled on toward another man. "Good to see you here, Colonel Cummerbund," he said cheerfully. "Of course, you were only Lieutenant Cummerbund when I was under your command. Plucky lad you were when you led us against that detachment of Coppelis. And then you took a nasty sword wound in the fracas, or just above, and I got you through with rum and cold water, and found that plucky you might be, but lad you weren't. Oh, how you gabbled away in your feverish delirium. Yes, you did. That's the truth, Olga." He stepped around the table and started to stroll along behind the officers. Those he passed stared woodenly ahead, not daring to turn, not daring to make any movement that would attract attention. "You could say I know something about all of yous," he said. "Quite a lot about some of you, just enough about most of you. A few of you, well, I could write a book." He paused, just behind Frock, who stiffened. "Jackram, I'm..." he began. Jackram put a hand on each of Frock's shoulders. 14 miles, sir. 2 nights, 'cause we lay up by day, the patrols were that thick. Cut about pretty dreadful you were, but you got better nursing from me than any sawbones, I'll bet." He leaned forward until his mouth was level with the general's ear, and continued in a stage whisper, "What is there left about you that I don't know? So, are you really looking for the truth, Mildred?" The room was a museum of waxworks. Jackram spat on the floor. "You cannot prove anything, sergeant," said Frock eventually,
with the calm of an ice field. "Well, now, not as such. But they keep telling me this is the modern world, sir. I don't need proof, exactly. I know a man who'd love such a tale to tell, and it'd be in Ankh-Morpork in a couple of hours." "If you leave this room alive," said a voice.